It's about our preparation, our hearts being in the right place. Oftentimes we don't even realize the things that have got in and are creating a little bit of distance between us and God. And when we wonder, is church relevant still for today? Because we have so many different ways to get God's word, right? We can read our Bibles at home. Some people tell me that. Why? I've got my own relationship with God. I can do this at home, or I can watch TV. I can listen to podcasts of my favorite dynamic speakers. There's a lot of different ways. And I don't think any of those are bad. I think they're actually all good. They don't replace this, though. They're really just an augmentation of this. They can add to it, but they're not the dinner, you know? Appetizers and desserts are great. They're not dinner, right? This is something that is really important for a lot of different reasons, but one of them is that when we put ourselves positionally in a place where we can quiet our souls and listen to the voice of God, He can speak to us about things. And because in our culture, busyness is just accepted. There's very little pushback against that because that's kind of, we just claim that almost as who we are as Americans, right? That's just, when you ask somebody how they're doing, they'll just as soon tell you that they're busy as they're doing good, right? It might be one or the other. I'm good, or I'm busy, or I'm good and busy. But in busyness, we often don't get that solitude and that reflection required to still our souls before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not just tackle you and hold you down and say, listen to this. I need you to hear me. But on a Sunday morning, when we're surrounded by other believers, other seekers, other people that want to get to know God better, there's something in that. There's something special that happens. There's something special that happens when we're taking communion together. There's something supernatural that can take place. And we shouldn't be afraid of the supernatural because it's depicted and often looked at in weird in media and on television and scary, and they've tried to hijack so many of our words even, right? The word Christian has a really bad connotation now societally. The word supernatural is thought more of mystical and dark or full of witchcraft. Supernatural is God. God is supernatural. He is above and beyond our natural understanding of the natural things of life. He is above and beyond the issues that you come into church with today because He designed you and He knitted you together in your mother's womb, and He understands everything about you, even the numbers of the hairs on your heads. God is above and beyond our rationale. And He doesn't need our permission to do anything that He chooses to do. So as we walk into service, it should always be with a hopeful expectation, an anticipation, an excitement. What's God going to do today? Because it never needs to be with fear or trepidation. And I know that even as we walked into the teaching that will continue next week on spiritual gifts, we don't need to walk into that with fear. We don't need to be afraid because our God is a good God. And the gifts He gives are good gifts. Now, it may make you uncomfortable, and you may have to get past some stuff, and you may have to reorder your thinking. And for many of you, what's going to happen is an actual paradigm shift. You're going to start where you've been thinking one way for maybe your whole life. decades and decades, and suddenly God is going to come and start sinking into your subconscious an idea that wasn't present before. And then you're going to look at it in the light of Scripture, and you're going to go, uh-oh, I've been wrong about this. Now, how do I reorder myself positionally? How do I line up with this new knowledge of God, that he actually gives spiritual gifts to everyone in his family? Not just pastors, not just elders, but everyone in God's kingdom has giftings that are used for God's glory and his kingdom's work. And what does that look like for me? And God's going to continue to do that. Well, today, we're specifically looking at this idea of God's ability to heal us mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. God still does miracles. Now, I prayed for a miracle, and I confess to you that when I started going through my ordeal, I found it hard to pray. That's the honest truth. When I was going through this, I was very much broken and uncomfortable and having a difficult time, and I didn't even know how to get the words out without crying, so I couldn't even really pray. I was just kind of struggling. And then I did what James 5 says, and I called the elders, and they came over. A few of them came to my house, and they anointed me, and they prayed for me, and nothing happened. My eye didn't get any better. Now, what did happen is I accepted the fact that I had done what I was supposed to do and that God had kind of spoken over the situation and said, no, we're not doing that at this time. And I was okay with that at that point because I knew that I had done what I was supposed to do and I trusted that God had a plan and purpose. I really hoped his plan and purpose was to heal me so that when I went down to Geisinger the next morning, I was going to run around showing everybody how I could see and say, look at what God did. I don't need surgery, you know. But that wasn't God's plan. For whatever reason, he chose to do it differently. Now, because I still want that to happen, today I'm going to have the elders anoint me and pray for me. And I'm going to hope that during my next appointment, I can say, I don't need a second surgery. God has healed me. But if he doesn't, I will still trust him. I will still walk with him because his ways are not my ways. But I'm going to do what I know I'm supposed to do. And that's the part, that's all we can do. I used to get so caught up in the results. What happens if? And maybe some of you are sitting here today thinking that. Because that thought in our heads can be such a difficult one. And it looks like this. And this is going to be very real. I'm just going to be very real with you. What happens if? What happens if you walk up here and you get anointed and prayed for, and you're vulnerable, and you lay yourself out, and you lay your heart out, and you do it, and then in your mind, God doesn't show up, so to speak. What if he doesn't take away your depression, your anxiety, your eye infirmity, your whatever it is? What if he doesn't choose to do that? What does that do? Can your faith withstand that? There's the question. There's the elephant in the room question. Can your faith withstand that? Yes. If it's real faith, it will. This is the best place to figure that out, quite frankly. It's like, what's the best way to learn how to swim? With other swimmers around you, you get thrown into the water, and if you get in trouble, they can lift you back up and help you keep going, right? If you're going to have a crisis of faith, quite frankly, do it here. I'm just being straight. Do it here. Do it here. And we'll walk you through that part of it, too. You're not going to freak me out or our elders out if after we pray for you, after service, you come up and say, man, I'm really struggling because God didn't show up in the way I thought he could, and now my faith is kind of hurting. What do I do with this? Guess what? We'll help you through that too. It's okay. It's okay to be real here. Yeah. Not at every church. I'm not going to claim that across every church, right? It's not truth. In this church, it's okay to be real. It's okay to struggle, okay? You heard it from my mouth to your ears. It's okay. We can handle that. You won't freak me out if you're shaking a little bit. Okay? It's all right. All right. Let's see if I'm going to be able to do it this way or not. For I received from the Lord, I don't think I can see that good enough. I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So then, this is the important part as we're walking into today. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Thus why I called you in the beginning of this, to examine yourself, because then in 28, everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. Why does Paul take so much time to share something that's not so lovey-dovey in the context of the way we usually look at communion? Why is he so concerned about that? Because Paul also is the guy who is doing a lot of teachings in regard to spiritual giftings, which then in turn are about how we work together as a church body, how we intersect, right? How we connect with each other, how we use our gifts to edify and lift one another up. And in this case, specifically gifts that have to do with a prophetic word, a word of knowledge, a word of healing, where we're anointing and praying for each other. In the context of all of this, Paul stops and he says, "I want you to know something. It's not always like this, but here's what it's like sometimes. The very reason that you are sick in your soul, in your body, where you're having mental issues, you're having emotional issues, the reason you're depressed, discouraged, anxious, the reason you're having these problems, because you're being judged by God right now. And that judgment is you are not in the right place with God, because not only in communion, this is the tip of the iceberg here, and it just stands out in a point like this, but it goes across the board. He's saying, in your faith walk, what you're doing is you're being flippant about things. You're acting like this over here, but really in your heart, you're more like this. You're coming and you're taking communion with your brothers and sisters in Christ, but I can see right through it. You are not really in a good place, because you have sin in your life that's unconfessed. You're doing your own thing, and I'm not happy about it. So my blessing is not on you. That umbrella protection, that is not over you right now. So what's going to happen is you're going to face the assaults of the enemy on your own, and you don't want to do that. Now that's not, I always preface it to say, that's not always the case. Now I do a heart check when anything happens, and in this case with my eye, that was the first thing I did, was go to God and say, "Lord, is there something that's I'm missing here? Because this is an awful big thing to go through. Is there something I'm missing? Because you certainly have my attention." And unlike the last time I went through something super serious, which was my back spasms, this time he said, "No, we're okay. You're okay. You haven't done anything you need to confess. You're all right." And I was like, "Okay, that's good." But and then he reminded me of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed specifically and said, "God, take away this thorn in my flesh." And you remember what God said to him? "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is found perfect in your weakness." And I said, okay, so through my weakness right now, through me feeling kind of weak and undermanned and not feeling myself and really uncomfortable even driving or coming to church because I feel like half a pastor right now. And God's like, "Yeah, exactly. My strength is perfect in that weakness. I'm going to use you in different ways right now where you're feeling kind of weak, and it's okay. We're going to get through it." Then I was like, okay. I just like to know things. I'm just that guy. Once I heard that, I was like, all right, I'm not happy about my eyeball, but on the other hand, I'm not anxious anymore about it and feeling fearful, and I'm not upset with God in the least. I'm just kind of like, okay, hopefully I'll see some of those things happen sooner rather than later, but that doesn't always happen either. Sometimes God waits on that. So the position I want you to be in right now is I'm going to invite our elders to come up as they prepare us to take the Lord's Supper, is to bow your heads, bow your hearts, close your eyes, and just be seeking the Lord and ask him a simple question. Is there anything between you and me that needs to get settled? Keep it that simple. Lord, is there anything right now that I need to get settled before I take the Lord's Supper? And God will show it to you. First thing usually that comes to your mind is what he's trying to get your attention on. So, Father, we do bow in your presence right now. We do ask, God, you to reveal what is concealed. And we don't want to dig up and dredge up things from the past, because you've told us that when things have been forgiven, that you forgive and forget them. This isn't about dredging up everything we've done since we were a child. Show us if there's anything right now unrepentant of, we have not asked forgiveness of, we have not turned away from. And then we claim your word's promise that when we confess our sins, that you, God, are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We claim that promise. We claim the promise that your word says that our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. And what a joy it is to know that we are forgiven people. So, Lord, help us to walk into this time of communion with clean hands, pure hearts. We want to be right with you. We pray your blessing over this time. In Jesus' name, amen. This cup that you hold represents Christ's blood that was shed for us. There would be no more need for animal sacrifices for sin, because the perfect, spotless Lamb of God was slain so that all of our sin would be covered, taken away, and all the punishment for that sin would be laid upon Jesus. Lord, we remember. Thank you, Jesus. You guys can stay up here. Don't run away. I think what I'd like to do, Scott, is if you could pull up the whole passage, maybe 5:13 through 18, and I'll just read it from there. If anyone of you is in trouble, you should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone of you sick? You should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So, within healing, as I said, there's both within 1 Corinthians and in James and in other places, there seems to be a tie-in with our hearts, with our faith that God wants to get across. And it's a hard balance to find, because the last thing you want to do is be like some of the apostles even were, that when somebody, when there was a man that was blind, for instance, and he was brought for healing, and The disciples' first question was, well, who sinned? His sin or his parents' sin? Whose sin caused this to automatically go to the place where the sin is the reason why the person was sick? And Jesus said, actually, in this case, neither one of them. It's not about the thing that we read in to the church of Corinth. It isn't about somebody having done something that God is trying to get their attention. In this case, it's so that God's goodness, his power, his glory can be revealed. So sometimes things happen for a reason that we can't quite understand, but it ultimately is for God's glory. So what we've done this morning is we've done the heart check. We've given opportunity for the repentance. We've looked at ourselves. We've examined ourselves. We've done what it says in James 1 to do, where we have held up the mirror of Scripture in front of our souls, just like we held up the mirror in front of our faces this morning as you shaved or brushed your hair or brushed your teeth, and you made sure that everything was right before you walked away from the mirror. And James says the same thing. Hold up the mirror of the Word of God to your souls. And we've made those adjustments, meaning we've gone to God and said, God, you've shown me something. I've examined something, and I've seen something, and Lord, I confess it. I repent of it. I want to look at it the way you look at it. Forgive me, and we've moved on from that. So now we're in a place of receptivity. We've done the things that we know to do to position ourselves before Almighty God to say, oh, God, okay, God, we've done the things you've shown us to do here. Now we're going to come boldly to the throne. We're going to come boldly to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Father over all creation, who says in his word, if you're struggling with something, come. Come and receive prayer. Come and receive help. And so I am going to be the first. I'm going to model that for you today and invite my elders to come and anoint me and pray for me with my specific request, which is I would love for my eye to be healed right now. I'd love for God to do that miracle. So, fellas. Questions are simple. If you have a need, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, whatever that need is that you feel like you need to be prayed over, then we're going to invite you to come up, and you can do it in one of three ways, basically. If you want to come up and sit on one of the front pews here, then we'll know that you're up here for prayer. If you want to come kneel at the altar, if you want to position yourself in that way, you can come up and kneel at the altar. If you just want to come and stand near one of the elders, then you could do it that way. So with that having been said, come.